is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with Eli Hoshotara on the News for the Soul Network. Eli is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. Eli tells it like it is. Welcome Eli Hoshotara back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this hour of News for the Soul. I'm your host, Almaya Hoshiamtara. And let's talk a little bit today about compassion versus going up, where you start to realize that, like, it's just the universe sweeping you forward, forward, forward. So there's not as much resistance and there's not as many problems as you think. Now, of course, when you're stuck in it, of course, it's a lot easier to say that, especially if you're not the one stuck in it. Then it's a lot easier to just say, well, it's just the universe doing its magic, you know, or some people are like, karma, bitch, it's your karma, you know, and you can kind of get the, like, the energetic daggers going, you know, and people get really mad and hostile. So it's email today. So I do see we have callers, so I'm sorry, but we won't be doing that today, except for Annie. We're here for you. Sorry, not offense to anybody else who's hanging on the line. We're just in a little bit more of a pickle with Annie. So we're going to be doing that, making our special exception here, not to be unfair to anybody else, but if you are in those dire circumstances, then you would be making it on the air as well, in spite of our exceptions. So thank you for understanding. So let's talk a little bit, get back to, like, this compassion. And this is a really good point, you know. So, you know, taking Annie because of her circumstances that are going on right now versus going up and needing to teach or being in the void. So why do we do both? Because, number one, I mean, it's always easier to just be on the outside, right, and say, well, obviously it's just happening for a reason, especially, you know, if it's somebody you're detached from or you don't care about, it's a lot easier to do that as well, especially if somebody's angry at the person, you know, and they're just waiting for karma to get them. You know, it's a lot easier to not have compassion. The place that compassion screws people over is when, and you see this a lot in codependency, is when compassion is often used as an excuse to not have to be responsible or responsible in some way. And I know people, a lot of codependency really, really hate that one, but there's, you know, responsibility financially, there's responsibility emotionally, there's, you know, responsibility in terms of your physical stuff that you have around the house, your belongings, your children, your relationships. There's all sorts of ways that, you know, we need to be responsible. And I get it, a lot of people don't want to participate in certain things, but if you don't want to participate in them, such as relationship, you know, it does not mean that, you know, somebody's entitled to take that stuff from you. So, for example, ladies who are looking for warning signs, if you're dating and you're like, so what are you looking for in a relationship? And he's like, I don't know. That's a warning sign, honey pie. That really is. Now, sometimes people don't like to do that because they don't want to say the wrong thing. I understand. But it's also how a lot of women get roped into a long-term relationship with a guy who doesn't necessarily even want to be in one. And they feel that there's, like, this sort of expectation that you're supposed to sit there and hang around. And sometimes the guys will put that on you. But, you know, it doesn't make sense to be in a relationship with somebody or even giving them your time, energy, blocking off other potential partners to somebody who doesn't even know if he's going to want to be in one. And you can go through that for years, for decades. Some people are doing that for decades. And no, you don't need to go through that process. So, you know, what if you understand what it's like to not know what to do or know what you want? Because that happens, absolutely. that's fine. You can have compassion for that, but it doesn't mean that you get involved, especially if you want things like children and you know you want children. If you know what you want in a certain area and somebody is not clear enough or is not functional enough overall or is just not in that place, it doesn't mean that you should give that up, that knowledge up, because somebody else is not there. It does not mean you should give up that healthy desire or something that's going to be very fulfilling for you because somebody else is not there or doesn't know if they're there or doesn't know if they're ever going to be there. Those are called warning signs. Now, codependency, in know that's bad or wrong, because people are usually don't have enough of a skill set in any area where somebody's codependent, especially when there's a lot of codependency overall. People don't have enough stuff sorted out to be able to make those decisions for themselves. The problem is, if you don't have those decisions sorted out for yourself, it doesn't make it better to take on somebody else who also doesn't know if they have those things sorted, especially if they don't have it sorted in an area that's very important to you to have. So, and I met a lot of men with a lot of codependency issues. Well, I'm a guy. I don't have to think about it right now because I can have children when I'm 70. Technically speaking, but I consider that extremely unfair to your children to have their father die when the father's 70. Father died within a few years. The child, 3 years old, never got to know their father because the father was too old. There's also a lot of health implications, both for the child and for the mother, for using geriatric sperm. And geriatric sperm, by the way, people, is anything over 35 years old. So geriatric, in terms of your pregnancy conditions, it's a term we use up here in North America. Geriatric is anything that is over 35 years old in both the male or the female. So do you need to, run the risk of diabetes because you've got some guy who doesn't know what he wants? No, because there are guys who are in their 20s who know what they want. They know whether they want to be a father or not, but you have to have enough emotional health to have that happen. Now, I've also met guys in their 30s, guys in their 40s, guys in their 50s, guys in their 60s, who still don't know if they ever want to have children. And I really want to be clear about that. And, some of them finally do decide they want to have children, and they're 7 years old. They can't afford to feed themselves. You don't want to get involved with that if you actually want to have children and you don't want to have your health risks go up for either you or your child. That is a warning sign. So, do you need to give these things away? No. Compassion does not mean making a bad decision, although that tends to be one of the definitions when it's done in a codependent usage. And the reason why you need sort of like this flow and this higher learning is because otherwise you're going to consistently, if you're stuck in compassion all the time, especially codependent compassion, you'll often miss out on things that you really need to do that are going to be really beneficial for your life. And then you get women in their 40s where, they've blown their timeline. Now they're looking at a geriatric pregnancy. They're looking at higher risk of Down syndrome or complications for the child because of their own age, because they sat there and they hung on with the wrong guy who didn't know if he wanted children. Do that a few times for 5 years in a row. That's 15 years. So that's pretty much, in North America, you got like 1 year left from the time you're an adult you got 1 year of leeway for doing that. And you don't tend to get into 5-year relationships one after the other. So, and I know a lot of people here in North America who have lost their opportunity to have children because, they've hung on with the wrong person, for example. And it doesn't, in codependency, if you're making a healthy decision for yourself and if you want children, is that a healthy decision for you to find somebody to have children with? Absolutely. Is that a healthy decision for you to find somebody who also knows that they want to have children? Abso-freaking-lutely, 100%, completely and absolutely. And codependency is often, you're a bad person in codependency for making a healthy decision for yourself. And it tells you the level of codependency that's out there or the level of codependency you're in if you consistently think that you need to give up things that are going to be serving and healthy for you to do because other people can't handle it or else you're going to be bad and wrong for wanting to be able to do that. And the higher up you go, I really want to be clear about this, very successful people, they have a life plan. They know, men included, whether they want to have children. They know what time they want to have children by. They know how it's going to fit in their career path. And some of those guys are figuring this out at 23, 24 years old. Look at, what's his name? Chris Hemsworth, Thor, Hole. He was in his, mid-20s when he started having his children with his wife, who was a little bit older, just by a couple of years, and they're a fabulous couple. And he knew within a couple of months that he wanted to marry her. For anybody who's not familiar with Chris Hemsworth, that, really seriously hot Aussie guy with his, seriously gorgeous, gorgeous, beautiful, beautiful wife, they've got an amazing, he was Thor, and they've got an absolutely amazing life that, they're very, take care of their children, they've got a great marriage, she looks like such a sweetheart, he seems like a genuinely nice person, and these people are making these decisions, still going out and, you know, making movies, and he's top of his game. So ladies, you know, there's Chris Hemsworth, or there's some broken little man that you're trying to save. So, you know, figure out which end of it that you want to be on. And it's the same thing, you know, for anybody, because there are guys who are very organized. And if you're a woman who's thinking you have to give up your organization, you get a guy who's really organized and know what he wants. Some of them may get involved with you, but some of them won't, because you don't know where you're at, because you've been too busy babysitting codependency. And if they do want to get involved with you, which isn't the best decision, it's usually because they know that you're going to be short-term, or they figure that they'll just push you into whatever they want, or they'll just get rid of you. So be very, very careful about that. You're way better off to actually know what you want and see if it matches up with what the other person wants. And by the way, even though some of those guys will do that early, you know, on, make that, you know, date a woman anyways, there's a lot of women still that they can end up turning down because she doesn't know where she's going or what she wants. So does that mean you need to fake it up and know what you want, quote unquote, even when you don't know what you want? Nope. That would be codependency. But it is worth being honest with yourself about the things that you actually do want when you can actually feel that you want them. And I say when you can feel that, some people, you know, you need to come in for coaching to get a little help with that, to gain some clarity. But that's going to help you find the person that you actually want, and then get rid of the people who, or stop dating or taking in the people who actually don't want the same things that you do, or don't know if they want them. Because, you know, at least if somebody is honest with you and says, like, I don't want that, at least you can steer yourself to a more appropriate place. But that takes, again, a much higher level of honesty than you're going to get in a lot of codependency. So, you know, it's important to understand those things, but also understand that compassion is just understanding that, you know, it's understanding the pain that comes with living on this plane. But it doesn't mean that, you know, even when there's more pain and codependency, it doesn't mean that people can't come out of it. It's just that when people are stuck in the pain of codependency, they're usually, one of the reasons why they're stuck in it is because they're scared of leaving it, because they're going to because then they're worried about making the other people in codependency wrong. So in other words, a bunch of people got to get their stuff sorted out, and they don't, because otherwise the other people who don't have their stuff sorted out may actually have to face that they have to sort their stuff out. And you actually want people to sort their stuff out. Why? Because, again, getting back to the dating thing, you end up in relationships or even business partners with people who don't have the same goals in mind because they're not honest about it, and you didn't know enough to be able to say, no, I don't want to take on that person. I don't want to take that person on in business. I don't want to take that person on in a relationship. This is not worth taking on a friendship with. And the more that you are clear and know what it is that you actually want genuinely, okay, the genuinely know what you want part, so you got enough of your stuff sorted out, then it becomes a lot easier to see, you know, whether somebody, you know, to say no to people who don't know what they want. And even if they say, because this is one of the fears of codependency, well, anybody can say they want the same thing you do. Is that true? Absolutely. But then you can look at things like, is the person actually set up to be able to do that? Because once you start making the breakthroughs, you know it's possible, but you also understand what the timelines are going to be on that. And you stop taking on people whose the timelines are so far beyond what they may be able to accomplish. You don't take them on while they're still in that state. So, for example, and I've used this one a lot, a 60-year-old man who's, you know, wanting children, and he's got to get himself, you know, a 30 or 35-year-old woman who's, you know, willing to take on a 6-year-old guy to have children with. By the way, he doesn't work, so you're going to have to feed him. He's a total slob, so you're going to have to do all the cleaning. Not very functional as a human being, so therefore, you know, you're going to have to argue and, you know, do the fighting to make sure children are raised right. You can do all that to, you know, be 30 and, you know, have a 6-year-old lie on top of you. Which is, you know, not something generally speaking women tend to want to a very high degree, and it wouldn't be healthy for you to want that. So that's okay if you're like, nope, not going to take that on. but I will tell you, you know, and the reason I use this is because that guy got surrounded by a lot of women, like a lot of them. Why? Because they didn't know what the circumstances were. so it was really interesting to watch that sort of thing play out, you know. And you can, you know, go that route. There were a lot of women that were, you know, thought they were going to get something more out of him, but didn't understand that he was, you know, chasing after a 30-year-old, you know, because he wanted children. that he was never going to be able to afford. And he actually passed not being able to afford any of those things. Now, I know some people are like, you can't talk that way about somebody who's passed. I really want to be clear about it. It's a really good teaching lesson to use somebody because it's not going to matter anymore once they've passed. So I kind of disagree on that, not to be disparaging, but nobody knows who it is anyways. But those examples are out there, you know, and I use that one because it's a more extreme example, but not the most extreme by a long shot of things that can go out there in terms of codependency. So you need the moving forward part. You need that, you know, being in touch with, you know, the God force, the life force, whatever you call it, the universe, God, whatever is, you know, the grand universe, whatever is making things work behind the scenes to guide you to different places and allowing yourself to go there and get those things that you want because that's going to be healthy. And holding yourself up in codependency doesn't make somebody else's life better. It may help them to be a little bit calmer, not be so freaked out in certain moments, but you can't sacrifice your entire life for that. And that's a really hard thing for some people to understand, but it's a really severe push when people are freaking out like that. It's usually a very severe push from the universe. Well, you can freak out or you can go get the help. And some people really don't want to get the help, and it's just the freak out is part of, hi, universe knocking on your door, like, you know, well, this is what it looks like. Do you want this kind of life or not? And some people want to be in the panic more than they want to get the help. And again, that's another reason why you need to be careful about who you're getting involved in. Do you want to be in with people who don't want to get the help? They'd rather be freaked out because that tends to be a lot of caring emotionally, physically, the whole nine yards. So we have compassion because, I mean, there's always the next level. So it's not about being, you know, whack, whack, whack. Anytime somebody's not perfect, but it is taking, when you're getting involved with people, it is taking on people that it's going to make more sense for you to do so than to take on people who it doesn't make as much sense to. And in codependency, some people really want to make that wrong because they understand they're going to be getting rejected in a lot of places. Is that true? Yeah, some people are going to get rejected in a lot of places. And again, what they'll do is they'll pick somebody else because they don't want to be rejected. They'll pick somebody else on who's going to make their life a living hell or too hard to be in a relationship with to prove it's wrong to reject people because you don't have compassion. And they'll fuck themselves over to quote-unquote prove that you're wrong for having a good life because you're making healthier decisions for themselves. And that's another reason why people keep screwing themselves over and over and over again. And then they're at a complete and total loss why life is so hard. And then, oh, life is so hard. You don't understand. You know, fuck you for not understanding. you're a bad person because you don't understand. Because they'd rather, you know, fuck themselves over, repeatedly cry and scream that they're in pain, that the world is a bad, mean place, as opposed to saying no to somebody that's going to fuck them over because they're scared that other people are going to be then getting permission to leave them behind. And if somebody's going to be left behind in some area, that doesn't change by taking on somebody who's going to be bad news for them. It just means they increase their chances they're going to get rejected. And for some people in codependency, that's really, really hard to understand. I get it. It changes absolutely nothing. And again, it's just the push to growth. It's just about breaking the pattern. But when people get in those patterns that severely, sometimes they don't want to make the changes. And when they're taking on people who are even harder, more stuck in codependency than they are, the reason those people don't make the changes is because the more and more you go into codependency, the harder and harder and harder it is to get out of it. And so some people know that because they've got a hard time getting out of codependency, then they take on somebody else who's, you know, not budging, and they're like, I'm fucked over, oh, you know, you should help me, but you can't help somebody who's not willing to keep come out of it, and you can't help somebody who's going to be, while they're in that position of continually making decisions to fuck themselves over because they think that's going to make them somehow a good person. And what will happen is they'll keep taking you down because they keep getting taken down. And then the people that they're trying to help that they feel are taking them down, they're in the exact same pattern. To the point of you get people who start bringing really dangerous people around expecting you to save them. Well, they don't want to make any changes. And people will really, really, really hardcore hold onto their codependency. And the more they're in it, the more that they'll hold on to it. So, you know, can you help people in codependency? Yes, if they want to move ahead and only that. And you still have to make distinctions about, you know, if somebody is consistently picking on people who are warning signs for you, that's a warning sign that somebody's not going to be coming out of it anytime soon. That's going to be a lot of work if they even make the decision to, and you'll get some people who really won't. So if you want that, you know, if you want to come out of that, for anybody who's at that level, stop taking on people that you know are toxic for you. It doesn't mean that you're always going to know who those people are, but when you do know somebody's toxic for you, stop taking them on and do the growth work, you know, do the trauma therapy, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Work on your finances, all those sorts of things, because that's how you get out of it. And codependency tends to hate it all. They tend to make it wrong. You'll get people who are going to attack in it. And again, another reason why codependency is so full of pain and suffering, another reason why people don't get out of it, another reason why you get attacked so much in it, and some people are never going to leave that. You know, and it's hell on wheels, but you have the decision to make whether you want to have your life be made life, you know, living as a living hell, or whether you're going to come out of that. And as you come out of that, when you see that people want answers, if they're ready for it, then you can just say, like, oh, yeah, I think that's really great. You're going to work in nursery. What? Absolutely. If you love plants, that's a really good way to, you know, spend your days. You'll be a really huge benefit for that nursery. Really? Yeah, people tend to like people who actually want to work at the place of business that they own. Really? Because for codependency, that can really be a foreign concept. It's kind of strange. I mean, we all tend to like people who are validating our good choices. But codependency can sometimes have a really hard time understanding that. So, you know, compassion does not mean tanking yourself. It means that as you grow and you come out of it, when other people do want to come out of it, then they have the option to do that. So let's see, mailbag here today. We have Alana in New York. One moment here. And what do I see for her search for relationship? Well, Alana, the first thing that I see is that you're looking for somebody to save you. So we're talking about the codependency. And again, you know, you came on to a great show to get that question answered for all the beginning stuff. Because here's the thing, when I see people in melancholy, people think, you know, oh, I have to be melancholy in order to get a relationship. There's a lot of, you know, pressure to come out of that and be happy. You know, and they say things like, you know, spirituality, it's like, well, give up your pain and suffering. That can be very challenging. But when you're in a moment where you think you have to tank yourself or be in a codependent or be mopey, because you think that's going to get you what you want, that's not going to get you what you want. In fact, I see a lot of people in your position who actually get attacked a lot. They get rejected a lot because they're choosing to be mopey all the time because they think that's what's going to get them what they want. And so when you're like on a dating site and you've got people who come in, and you're being mopey purposefully because you think that's going to get them to have compassion for you, and they leave, what they're telling you is they don't want that from you in a relationship. Now, if you've usually gotten people in while you've been mopey, and that can reinforce the side effect, the thought process that this must be what people want from you, and this will get you a relationship. If you look at the number of people that you've managed to get in a relationship with, and if you look at the amount of people that have walked away because you've chosen to be melancholy in places where you've deliberately chosen to be melancholy because you think, you know, because you're looking to get sympathy or pity from somebody, you'll usually find that the amount of people you can get a relationship with that with is going to be tremendously lower than the amount of people you're going to be able to get in a relationship with if you weren't making that choice to tank yourself all the time. So I do see a little bit of room in there, which is good now that we've, you know, I've been answering some of these questions. So that's good. I know for some people it can be very scary when they're coming out of that because they're scared that if they're happy, they're going to be attacked. and I see a little bit more space coming in, which is good. And here's the thing. If you look at the, yes, some people cannot take if you're happy or if you're okay and they need to tank you because they're not okay. But the thing is, you'll go through the same thing if you're also stuck in that melancholy thing when people are happy. If you're not comfortable being happy where you are, the people, you won't become as comfortable with the people that will not attack you. And so you're more likely to need to pull them down so that they're also melancholy, because that's the level that you're comfortable with. Whereas if you were more comfortable with being outside of that level of codependency, if you stopped taking yourself all the time, what would happen is when people started to bite your head off because you were a little bit happy, you'd probably get rid of them, which means that you'd get rid of the people that are more going to be attacking you, which means that life would be a little bit easier. But then you have to give up the pattern of thinking that playing pity party for yourself or getting people who are going to come in to play pity party for you is going to get you something. And that can be, you know, that one alone. Again, it's not that you're never going to have moods where you're upset, but there's a difference between you're actually upset versus where sometimes you're going to feel like you don't know if you're upset or not. And in those moments, that's your calling from the universe to get comfortable with the unknown. So you have to learn how to get comfortable with being okay that you don't know what's going on. You don't know if somebody's going to be upset with you or not. One other thing I usually suggest when I see patterns that I'm seeing with you, I'd really, really suggest trauma therapy. That's another reason why people can often get rejected, even before they say anything, or, you know, they make a complete and total stranger for the first time. They're talking about the weather and somebody's got like, you know, they look like they're snarling at them and literally all they've talked about is the weather and you can't figure out why you're getting rejected. Trauma therapy can really help with that. In terms of, like, I would suggest talking to somebody about, like, checking about how to, like, get regulated and stuff like that. Let's see here. Hold on. I would also suggest checking into visceral and neural manipulation. That can help as well a little bit. But for you, it's really going to be looking at, you know, self-development work, coaching, those sorts of things, because you definitely have work to do. And in terms of a relationship, you know, women get all sorts of ideas, like, you know, some guys want them to be vulnerable with their feelings. There's a difference between being vulnerable with your feelings and going into pity party. So being vulnerable with your feelings, you know, that's going to be a lot longer of a teaching than I'm going to be able to do on the air here. That's going to take, that could easily take a half an hour. but bottom line is that if people can't handle healthy, anything that's healthy within you, that means you're never really going to be able to get ahead in a relationship. And most people, even people who seem to be demanding to be able to tear you down, will not want somebody who is at the level of being torn down to that degree that they're comfortable with. So you'll get this really interesting phenomenon where people will tear somebody down so that they're comfortable with them and then not want them because they're comfortable with them. And it's not because they're comfortable with them, so you have to make it uncomfortable. That's a very common codependency miscommunication. but what happens is everybody needs a higher level, even if they can't handle it. And if they can't handle it, then they'll attack you while still not wanting you. And, you know, playing pity party a lot will feed into all of that, and that will create a lot of hardship. So I would really suggest, you know, talking to somebody who's a somatic therapist to help with that. There's a lot of different training that people can do in order to be able to help you out of that place. But in terms of a relationship, the best that I'm seeing right now is basically you being melancholy, begging for a relationship from a slimy guy who's very standoffish. And, you know, he'll kind of be in a relationship with you, but not really. And he's not really trustable and he's not really going to be there. And then you're doing like severe stuff to prove that you're stuck. you know, in terms of, the, oh, look at my pain and suffering, I'm stuck. And that's the best that I see on the horizon for you. And, you know, you do have other potential wedding bells on the horizon, but you'd have to be advanced out of the, you know, you'd have to let go of the pity party, basically. You'd have to let go of the trying to prove that you're broken so that people stop having expectations of you, of emotional health. That's another reason why I see that. happening, because you're not, while people may leave you alone if they think you're too far gone, it also means rejection if they think you're too far gone. So, you know, and there's got to be, like, there's a lot of stuff in there. I could keep going and going and going. Basically, you're going to need some help in order to get guidance out of it. But, yeah, and you do have relationship possibilities. I really want to be clear about that. It's just, it depends on, you know, what level of melancholy that you want to play at. So, yeah, I really wish you the best luck with that. I really want to understand it's always easier outside of all these like melancholies, pulling yourself down. Always easier to live a life outside of those things than it is to be stuck in them. I wish you the best of luck, because that's not an easy one. Okay, let's see here. Alan in UK, do I see his wife and him getting back together? One moment here. Just got to switch here. Alan in the UK. Not for a long time. What I do see is that you kind of sort of, it's like if you're chasing her, then it's like she's kind of eluding you, and then when she's like willing to be responsive to you and to come in and be like, hi, you know, kind of tapping you on the shoulder sort of thing, you've got your walls up and your defenses up and you're not even noticing what's going on. And I'm seeing that happen for a long time. let's see here. You know, I think the question is, you know, you need to really ask yourself and be honest if you actually want your wife back together, if you want your wife back. I mean, you both have stuff that you need to work on. I would really suggest individual counseling for both of you. The thing is, Ellen, is that I see your wife making a lot more improvements than you would be. And so she can get there, but if you don't, you're never going to have a satisfactory relationship. I kind of get the vibe of, like, you know, you're willing to take her back just to have somebody, you know, might as well take her back. It's better than nothing. But that's not really the attitude you want to go into relationship with. You know, honesty would be really good on your part. You know, I see a lot of shells up, you know, a lot of serving usage in terms of the ego and stuff like that. And that's just, you really got a strong ego, Helen. You know, and the thing is, like, I do see you two being able to be far more compatible than you are now, like infinitely more compatible. I won't say that everything's going to be perfect, because it wouldn't be, but definitely a lot more compatible than you are now. Let's see here. Basically, I mean, if you want to do your work, quite frankly, this would be a really good relationship to do your work on yourself within it, because you have somebody who's also got the capacity to be able to grow. And I don't normally, you know, normally it's like one or the other. It's like this person's going to grow, that person's going to grow, or this person's really going to outgrow that person, or vice versa. But it's not like you've got somebody who's going to be sitting on her butt. In fact, you're more likely to be the one to be sitting on the tushy than she would be. You'd be the one who'd be the toughest nut to crack in terms of getting the forward motion. I get you don't like that. Doesn't really change anything. But if you want the safety of, you know, because this doesn't happen with everybody, you know, because what happens a lot is, what I tend to see a lot of is that, you know, one will like sort of grow and then and leave, or they're just not interested in the first place, or one person is going to hang on. It's there, even though, you know, it's totally, totally, totally not worth it for them to be in that relationship. And what I'm seeing with you and her is that this is one of those rare relationships where you can actually grow, and this is growing on yourself, not focusing on making her grow, which I see with a lot of people with that egoic quality I see in you. when you do your work and actually work on yourself, it seems like she's going to be able to support that. And that doesn't happen a lot, very often. A lot of people get very, very threatened. You usually have to be at a certain level before people are going to be able to take and handle your growth work. And even in higher levels, there can still be triggers. But it seems like you've got a very strong partner in the fact that you both can grow and sort out a lot of your karma, move ahead a lot more than you would. So, like, would I suggest, you know, you give up on it and split ways? I mean, that's up to you. But, you know, you at both of your heights, as far as I can currently get you, it's definitely not just neutral and it's not negative. And usually when I see people who are in your and her positions, usually they end up in relationships that are going to be more detrimental than, you know, just, you know, they're not, it's not going to cause harm, but it's not going to be beneficial. Usually, you know, just getting in relationships with people that aren't going to just be screwing them over is going to be tough enough. and yet you have this capability with her. So that is something for you to look at. I know a lot of people sort of like want to, you know, blame their partners and stuff like that. But I definitely want to be clear, it's not just you. And I also want to be equally clear, definitely clear, it's not just her. So it's up to you whether you want to, you know, take this gift from the universe or whether you want to, you know, keep blowing it. But the gift of the universe is that I would really, really, really highly suggest working on yourself, going to a lot of therapy, couples counseling, yes, but also individual growth work, individual therapy as well, because you are going to be the harder one to crack on that. So if she's, you know, not wanting to go to couples counseling with you or whatever, if that were to happen, I wouldn't work on it so much because you really, I mean, if I could like peel off the, you know, that Alan doesn't have to do his work. If I could peel that off you, and I can't, but if I could, that would be, it would make your life so much easier, Alan. I mean, you'd have so much growth potential. Unfortunately, because you're so stuck, it's like trying to peel off one of those stickers off a jar that's just like not budging. It's like, this is the label. And it's just not going anywhere. You have to be the one to do it, and you're holding on darn tight. So again, you know, and I really hope this helps. You know, I understand this could be, you know, probably not what you want to hear. But Alan, you're so freaking stuck. Like, seriously, sweetie, I mean, stuck. And I'm just saying this because I want you to understand, because if it's anything that I could do to help you understand that without, you know, throwing out your other issues, you know, into the fray, for your self-defenses, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I mean, in terms of who's got the best bargain here in this relationship, you or your wife, well, you'd have the better bargain because she's capable of making the changes a lot more. And I don't think you have very much, I mean, there's definitely some care for your wife, but not enough understanding and respect of her, of how much work that she's going to be able to do. And I'm really hoping that helps to make some sort of dent so that you can help, you know, get the work done that you need to do. So, you know, thanks for writing in. I wish you the best of luck. And yeah, I would really suggest things like somatic therapy as well. let's see here. Just one moment. Wow, they're sending me the ones that's like, okay, we're really going to poke holes in this codependency stuff. okay, an easier one. Doreen in the UK, do I see your efforts to start your family being successful? So one moment here, Doreen in the UK. Well, I definitely see a baby. I mean, that's really, really good. And that came like pretty much just right in there. I see one baby, and then I see another one. It's sort of like in the shadows. But not coming up. So what I'm saying is I'm seeing the possibility of three children. I'm seeing one for sure. I'm seeing one loss, unfortunately. And I'm seeing one, like if there's, okay, so I'm seeing three at least. But what's being hidden is, like, the third one is being hidden behind it, and I can't get it budged. Please don't worry about, I know it's easier said than done. Please don't worry about the losses. you know, I've lost a couple, you know, pregnancies myself, so I understand, obviously, that's, you know, not an easy thing to go through. But you don't want to stress yourself out any more than you need to. I mean, there are natural miscarriages that do happen. Again, they're called spontaneous miscarriages in the early weeks. I had one of those. You know, I was really pissed off about the spontaneous miscarriage. Yes, I just decided to go out one day and have a spontaneous miscarriage party. I really hated that name. but it is common. But in terms of the third, it seems like you're going to be needing some help with that. I'm going to be assuming, because I can't get it unlocked right now, no matter what I'm doing. Okay. So it seems like there's going to be a lot of challenges, but I definitely see a successful baby happening, at least one. So there is that. Once you have the healthy baby, it is up to you about how many more you want to take on. It does seem like there are going to be some challenges, though, in terms of your pregnancies being viable. And I do, unfortunately, see two losses and one win. So a baby is on the horizon. And again, you know, congratulations on that. I wish you the best of luck with that. it looks like the third one, that there's going to be some large health challenges. It is up to you whether you want to take that on. They're not showing you when that's going to be apparent or showing up. If you do have two losses, though, it would definitely be worth a third attempt to be able to have that happen. If you've already lost one and there were some sort of physical issues with the baby, then that would be the third one that I would have already seen. So that would be really good. So you can count like any losses that you've already had for that. But if you've already had like a couple losses and you're worried about it, third time may very well be the charm. And so they're only showing me three so far. I wish it was an easier journey for you. This was, you know, the journey for my having my babies was not easy, but it is well worth it in my experience when, you know, you finally do have that success. And it depends on how many times you want to try, but that's what I see for now. I really wish you the best of luck. I really wish I had, you know, better news because those sorts of things are, you know, not fun to have to see. But there is hope on the horizon, so thank you so much. Let's see here. Okay. Now I see, oh, there's my Annie. We got you on just, okay, Annie, you are on the air.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hi, how's it going? Sounds good. You got a good, lot of good advice today.
Thank you. It's going good for me. How you doing?
Good. Today's a good day. Yep, today's a good day. We're here in the heat, and we're waiting for the thunderstorm to come. See if that'll help but it's wicked.
Yeah, I bet. And so what's going on today, Annie?
Oh, well, you know, you keep sitting here reviewing myself, as, you know, we all do. Well, let's hope we all do. And one of the other things I grab a hold of is procrastination. And I understand it sometimes a part of the codependency, the unworthiness. So, like, I need a wedge to get out of that.
Yes. And also, there can be physical issues that stop us from moving ahead. And again, the visceral manipulation, those sorts of things, are really, really good because you can see you can see physical issues like disappear on like that you didn't know you had, but then all of a sudden procrastination in certain areas goes down. The weirdest one that I think that I've seen over something very minute is somebody's had it a resistance to washing their glasses, like their reading glasses, gone after they've had physiotherapy because their physiotherapist managed to unlock whatever the issue was, and they had a lifetime they hated wearing the glasses because the glasses were always greasy because they hated washing their glasses, and then all of a sudden in old age they have, you know, no resistance to washing their glasses anymore because they had a physical issue heal.
Hmm.
Like, really, really the darndest thing. So, like, if you're talking about physical resistance, there's, you know, there's a lot of different things that can happen with that, and I am seeing pain in your body that is causing resistance.
Yeah, I have a little bit of issues with capability of doing some things, which gets me angry.
Yeah, of course. You know, we should be able to work that way. And but in terms of the physical stuff, this sort of manipulation would really, really be helpful for you.
Okay, good. Yeah, I got beat up by the other day, and I did have a profound effect with a tween massage. It was excruciating, but it did have a lot of results. You know, and I told her, I said, thank God I'm a woman, I could take this.
Wow.
But it did work, yeah. So I think I'm going to follow through with that and find another good lady because she's far away. Do you think that would be beneficial to stick with that type of massage?
Well, I mean, it's good to help keep your muscles loose, and they definitely talk about a lot of benefit to, you know, going really deep in there and helping break up the muscle fibers and stuff like that. But if you want to start to get cracking on some of, you know, your resistance and the physical issues in terms of physical capability, the visceral manipulation would do you a lot better.
Which one is it? I couldn't
visceral?
Hear it very well. Oh, visceral.
So visceral,
yes. You've told me this before. Yes.
Yeah, manipulation, and get somebody who's high enough up in it where they're dealing with trauma. And there's a lot of things that can help unravel in terms of your, like, spiritual work, your self-development work. It's really, really bizarre, the mind-body connection. But I'm seeing, like, in your, like, the right side of your body, like your hand. Some people have, you know, things caught so that their hands are falling, like arms are numb when they wake up. it can help with that. The legs falling asleep, you know, if they're sitting too long, you know, say they're stuck on the toilet or something, the legs going numb, not being able to tell who to stay away from, it can help increase that. There's a lot of really, really strange side effects it has on the personality because there's such a strong mind-body connection. And I'm seeing, like, pain in your, like, legs, that there's some things that are caught. That it could really help with, because, you know, sometimes when we've had those things for so long, or they happen when we're little, we grew up around them, and, you know, we just think that's the way it is. But it's not just the way it is, it's just what you're used to, because that's the way your body had issues for so long. But I definitely see it could help improve mood. It could help improve, like, your capability for when people have issues with the gallbladder, that can, you know, increase annoyance. So I'm not going to say you're going to like some people better, but at least it would be a little bit easier to deal with them without feeling like you're getting tanked all the time.
Okay. Yeah. It's been difficult trying to find out.
Yeah. And I have a message from Nicole. She says, if you do end up moving to the West Coast, around like just short of the Oregon area, she said, we will come visit you and we'll take you out for a coffee.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I said, I don't want to tell her that. I'm like, I don't want to interfere. And Nicole's like, well, you know what? Tell her that, because, you know, if she's needing an excuse to go there, and if that works, we're going to come. We're going to take you out for coffee.
Yeah, I'm putting my request in shortly. So people are, I mean, my family gets a little more attentive to me these days because I give them the test results because they want to know. I don't even want to tell them, but they bug me. And they're all being a little more attentive. So that little trip is probably going to happen probably September-ish at least.
Okay.
So we'll do that. But
so there,
we'll see.
There you go. And we'll see. On the air, so we can definitely do that. And it'll be me, Nicole, possibly some of her belly dance troupe, and they're a really great group of girls. So it'll be a fun time.
Oh, wow. Thank you. It will be a fun time.
Yeah.
It's always
You're
a fun
welcome.
Time.
Always.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and hope things go good. But, yeah, seriously, look up that visceral manipulation, honey. Seriously, seriously, seriously.
I will.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And, okay, bye-bye, honey.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so let's see here. We've got room for one more, and so we can take one more caller just to let you know in advance. We're pretty much to the top of the hour, so it'll have to be a shorter one. But Nicole, if you want to give me an area code or just put somebody on. Nicole's choice. Hi.
Hi. This is Pat calling from Connecticut.
Hi, Pat. How you doing today?
Okay. I haven't talked to you for a while. Since we last talked, my dog passed last week.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So that's kind of the energy that I'm around right now. I don't know if you want to just do a general reading. Of course, there's other things going on, too. Or if
okay.
you hear anything.
Well, first off, right off, the dog didn't want to leave. I really want to be clear about that. You know, there's all sorts of different things that pets go through, but it is very common for the dog to be going, Mommy, you know, and having resistance and not wanting to leave. And that was the case, like really, really, really trying hard to move on. You're probably, I would suggest, giving permission for your dog to move on and helping it go to the light. There may be some resistance. And I mean, you can keep your dog around as much as you want, no pressure either way. But just, you know, a lot of beings are having a really hard time getting off this plane. And so it's really good to get, even though we may miss them, getting anyone off or anybody off that we can, as soon as we can, and getting them to go to the light is a really good thing. But your dog is definitely still around.
Okay. So I've been told that he wants to stay here and is happy here. Do you not see that? I understand that. My last dog, I, you know, did a lot of praying to get him to the light, so I understand what you're saying. But I really would love him to be close to me, and I thought that's what I've heard from other people.
So currently seems happy to be here, but what happens is a lot of dogs, they work in other, like, I think it's dimensions, but they see
right.
things that aren't there, and what would happen is I'm seeing your dog do a lot of barking, and a lot of, like, you know, defense work and those sorts of things. So let's see here. There wouldn't be quite as much time with you as you would think, because your dog's doing a really big job in terms of what it's trying to make happen, getting certain things lined up, breaking down ego, those sorts of things, smartening things up. Okay, yep, your dog is fine to stay for now. when it is time to go, then I would definitely keep in mind to help your dog go to the light, but it does seem like your dog doesn't seem as stuck as some people
uh-huh.
that I've seen. Like, it's not, excuse me, some people I definitely don't want to, because you just can't get them off. But your dog seems to be more advanced as a soul, as a being. So there would still need to be some help in terms of, like, going to the light and guidance to that. But there's definitely work that could be done. So, you know, you can have that time with your dog for a while. Just, you know, just as a warning, just keep an eye on it. But I'm seeing, like, you know, quite a bit of work to be doing. But again, more advanced, so I'm not as concerned as I normally would be. But just at the end, definitely helping them along when it is time for your dog to go.
Okay. Okay, I understand that.
Yeah. So I have time for one quick question before I have to end it.
Okay. So I okay. Will I be able to bring a foster dog to my apartment complex with ease? You know, as far as paperwork, as far as management, they love Chance, and they loved how I took care of him, and they understand that I'm a really good dog person. But I'm just, do you see any problems?
let's see here, one moment. The only problem that I'm seeing is that one of the ones that you may take in may not be your idea of a cup of tea, but there is one foster that you're actually meant to help adopt out, and it does seem like it's going to be somebody that's going to be in your neighborhood that's actually meant to adopt the dog. you may have some concerns because you may not think their energy is the best, because sometimes, you know, we don't want, like, oh, that person, I don't think I want to give them a dog. But when the dog's like, hey, hi, hello, and they're like, they seem to have that bond with the dog, and you're like, I don't know about this dog, that's the home for them.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it can definitely happen. Just, like, don't get in the way of, like, any sort of guilt about, like, what kind of person you're handing them over to, because everybody has love, right? And everybody has their people. And when the dog's not your cup of tea and neither are the people,
Yeah, I get that. I really do. But as far as someone coming, a dog coming into me quickly, I mean, in the past I've had to have a letter saying, you know, I have an emotional support dog, therefore I can have any size, so on and so on. And it's been a green light always. I'm just wondering, do I need to get anything prepared ahead of time? Or is it going to be easy?
The dog will come in easy, but it does kind of look like what's going to happen is you're probably not going to like the one that's going to come in. And it's going to be the staff at the shelter kind of going, we don't know if we want to give you this one. And the dog will come in and you'll be like, I don't know if I want to take this one in. So in terms of ease of living with you, it's probably going to be a challenge, and it's just going to be one of those things where you've chosen to serve, and you're serving the dog so that the dog can find the home. This is not your forever dog. This is not anything you're supposed to be attached to. It's just helping clean up some of the patterns and finding the right person. And that's it.
My management will give me a green light to do this.
And it might even be your management. There's a strong possibility it's your management that is supposed to take the foster dog or to have that connection with the management.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Perfect. Thank you, Pat. Okay. We're at the top of the hour, so I need to let you go, but I will talk to you next time. So thank you so much, everybody, for writing in and calling in. I'm sorry we weren't able to get to everybody, but we're listening to the universe today. So to miss the top of the hour. So thank you so much again, everybody. I love you. Call in again every single week, 3 p.m. PST, New York and Chicago. That is your rush hour. You can also go to my website. That's www.enlightenmentinthecity.com. And you can book your reading, or you can come in for the coaching. Please come in for the coaching. That's the stuff you want, because it, trust me, it's so much easier. The more codependency that is settled, the more that you're out of it, the easier your life has the potential to be. So thank you so much, everybody. I love you. Enjoy your summer. Bye-bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.